This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Father, we thank you. This evening we ask once again for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the administration of this evening service. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church this evening. So my job, what I've been doing for the past 5 days, and today being the sixth day, is actually a pastoral administration of apostolic truth. And along this line is more of breaking down for assimilation. Praise the Lord. That is why if you're very careful, you will discover that I've not said any new thing at all, just expatiating on what the truth flows and channels that our Father opened. And I intend to stay largely on those pathways. And to an extent, in case it look like I'm saying something new, I just want you to understand that it is my understanding of those revealed truth because of my calling. Praise the Lord. So if you listen to me carefully this past 5 days already, I've just been trying to run commentary on the way I have understood and also understood the truth that our Father brought to us for 9 days while He was on ground. And then how I feel they can find application in your life, in my own life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Since He opened that channel of the battlefield of the mind, we had to do the renewal of the mind. Do you get it? So that the advantages that are locked up within that wineskin, that teaching, we can be able to harness and to appropriate maximally. And I think that has been what I've been building on largely. And just like I said, the way I understand it. Because of who we are and because of where we stand in destiny, we hear differently and we understand differently. There are certain things I said while running those commentaries that if there was a military man on ground, he will understand it differently from a civilian. And this is because of who he has become by reason of his training. If there was a farmer listening, that farmer will be understanding the truths coming through the lenses of his occupation and preoccupation. If there was a doctor, a nurse, maybe a pilot, an engineer, they will be understanding what is being said through their own, the lenses of their own training and their own environment. Praise the Lord. So that's what has been going on. So it's not been anything really, really different at all. And I pray that the Lord will help us greatly in the name of Jesus Christ. So this evening, I'm still on the general broad series of aids to spiritual warfare, right? Aids to spiritual warfare is what I've been working on. And I'm just going to maybe a few contemplations and a few considerations if you are going to engage spiritual warfare. Not if you are going to engage spiritual warfare. Few contemplations because you are in warfare. Do you understand? Yeah, you are in warfare. You are in battle already. Even life itself, to be alive, is a warfare. And even if someone is going to die, it's still warfare. Everything around life is littered with warfare everywhere. And because we are now caught up in this situation that is unavoidable, there are contemplations and considerations that I'd like to bring to us very quickly. There are warfares that are not necessarily warfares that do something to you in terms of harm. Okay? There are certain battles, spiritual warfares that we are engaged in that the repercussions, the feedback, all right, of those warfares, it's not that something bad happens to you physically. It's that you become something that you shouldn't be. You become a kind of person that you shouldn't be. I was in the office today and I was contemplating the ministry of Elijah and then the persons that found themselves around the ministry of Elijah. And we saw how Elisha, who was already an established businessman, all right, and he had everything running and working for him. The alternative destiny that he had, he was already prospering in the alternative destiny, being a farmer. And because eternally, from God's eternity, he had that is greatness on his life, and he applied that greatness, that power of divine ordination. He applied it on agriculture and he was prospering. He had 12 yokes of oxen. That is like 12 tractors. If you backdate civilization and development to that time, 12 yoke of oxen is equivalent to you having a farmland that you need a constant 12 tractors to cultivate. This is how far Elisha had advanced in his own life. He had advanced in destiny to that magnitude. And just one encounter with the prophetic, one encounter dried up all the appetite of mundane accomplishment. What he had become in his humanity, it was so large that it overshadowed the thought. There was no one looking at Elisha that could ever imagine that this is God's prophet carrying out agricultural farming. There is no way you can look at Elisha and say this man is a prophet, because of the success, the accomplishment, how successful he had become on what his hand found to do. Maybe it was an inherited trade. His father was a farmer and then he inherited it. And then during his day, in his own time, everything exploded. Yet something mundane was beclouding something divine. And this is where you need to win the battle of accuracy of life and living. Something that he had become in the flesh is now overshadowing and overwhelming what he should be divinely that he had not even started. And there are warfares that hide men. There are warfares that conceals men, that a man can walk through the length and the breadth of his lifetime and not touch what he was ordained to be. Kenneth Hagin was doing pastoring work for 12 years until God came to him and said, I didn't call you to be a pastor. And while he was doing this pastoral work, there were results. But when it comes to accuracy of walk, you are as powerful as you are accurate. The kind of divine commitment, divine support, divine assistance you can have on your track, on your journey, on your life and living is largely dependent on whether you are doing the right thing, not if you are doing a good thing. Not even if you are doing a great thing. And we found an accident. And God said, when you go, anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room. Anoint Hazael to be king of Israel, Assyria. And then anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. And when he left, the last, if my records are correct, Elisha was the last name. Do you understand? But when Elijah moved, Elisha was the first person he found. Surprisingly, it was Elisha that engaged his prophetic destiny that brought these other two kings into their own destinies. They were wrongly positioned. They did not encounter Elijah during Elijah's lifetime. They encountered someone who encountered Elijah. Where was Jehu? Where was Hazael when there was a prophetic word looking for them? Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. There is a thought that I'm thinking towards. The thought is coming your way. It's looking for you. Looking for where to rest. Looking for how to catch you on the ground of faithfulness, on the ground of obedience. Those thoughts are looking for you to catch you, to collide with you on the ground of sacrifice, on the holy ground. And only Elisha was on that ground when the original carrier of that errand was walking. Elisha found himself in a room, in a place relative to a prophetic flow. A move of God that is traveling. You know, I was reading through some of my notes, 2020 notes, during the lockdown. And I read where Apostle was preaching and they said, it took 3 generations for the revelation of God as the El Shaddai to be established. He started with Abraham, proceeded with Isaac, and then in Jacob, he sealed up that revelation. And we're looking at Elijah, we're looking at Elisha, the next person that stood in that sequence. When I saw him, I knew the kind of warfare that wounded Gehazi out of divine positioning, out of divine placement, out of the right posture for destiny. Where Elisha was, that he served Elijah, he followed Elijah, and he was single-minded, single-eyed, he was looking, he was hunting for the spirit that was on Elijah. When Gehazi got there, he was hunting for something else. And it just dawned on me that the same place where Elisha stood and he served his way, he sacrificed his way, he died to himself. Elisha's life was taken from him and a different kind of life was given to him to live as a prophet of God in Israel. And Gehazi was there and it was going to take Gehazi to seal up the move of God through the life of Elijah. And here we have found Naaman come. And there was something about Naaman that Elisha saw in the spirit, that he will not allow, he will not take a dime from him, because the gift that men bring carries a spirit in the man. If a man gives you a gift, the predominant spirit at work on the life of that man comes on that gift. And Elisha saw that leprosy, he saw the abomination, he saw all the things that brought Naaman to where Naaman was. And because Naaman needed to know that there was a God in Israel and there is a prophet in Israel, Naaman was healed free of charge. And I read where Gehazi said, my master has allowed him to go free of charge. And then he said, excuse me, sir. What was that thing that was moving in his heart? Because I told you, if you are around an anointed, if you are in a spiritual place, don't just be carried away with what is being done. Be also carried away, be careful and be attentive to how it is being done. Somebody came and the apostle doesn't want to see the person. And then the pastor that you is like, why? He saw this. Why is he just sharp like this? There is something that he saw that you need, if you wait long enough, you will see it. And Gehazi went after Naaman, took of the gift, took of the gold, took of the apparels, and then ministry is growing. There is prosperity, right? That is breakthrough. He's no longer, don't allow me to serve my mate. Oh God, don't allow me to be a servant to my mate. Oh God, keep quiet, calm down. Now he is wearing good clothes. But there was something else that he contracted, and that thing had a transgenerational impact and implication. The leprosy of Naaman was not going to depart from Gehazi throughout all generations. And if you do a careful search, you will find people from the family of Naaman who are leprous. The modern day expression of leprosy, you will find it. Because that thing is going to be dead till Jesus Christ comes. And the only way of escape for anybody who is from that lineage is that they come into Christ. Do you understand? The same place that Elisha was, that he transited and got the double measure of the spirit on Elijah, Gehazi stood there and he was wounded in warfare. Why? Heart conditions. And Elisha told him, where are you coming from? And he was thinking that that question was for him to answer. You know, I told you that whenever God asks you questions, don't be quick to answer. It's something to contemplate and it's something to repent. Say, where are you coming from? See, thy servant didn't go anywhere. And he said, didn't I see you when you went after him and the man disembarked? You know, he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and to oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servant and maid servant and all that? I don't know how to carry the pain in my heart and put in your own heart. I'm here. Last year during the IEC, people came from all over the place. And one young man came. He is 24 years. I'm not sure he has finished his secondary school. Looking at him, he doesn't look like somebody who is educated to that level. He said he's in ministry. Wow, that's great. And what will come to me ordinarily is that the fact that, wow, he has gotten on the path of the calling early and on time. So God is going to satisfy us early with the salvation, and then we will rejoice all the days of our life. You will have more days in front of you to rejoice than behind you. And the next thing he said is, ministry is not growing. I'm like, excuse me, mini what? So what do you want? He's looking for whatever will make ministry to grow. And I spoke to him, I said prophetically, I said, look, you are close to occultism. You are very close to falsehood and occultism in ministry. And I said I spoke to him, that utterance was spirit powered.
It wasn't insult. That utterance was spirit powered, and he told me, he opened up and confessed that. It's like coming to IEC was the last check before he goes to all of those people that give anointed waters and all of those sons of the prophet things. Coming here was the last bus stop for him. What is ministry growth to you 24 years? Like, let me understand. Talk to me. If ministry is growing, you are now. If ministry is growing, what does it look like to you? what is a description of ministry growing and ministry? You should be learning. It will take you 16 years of being on the track, on being on the road, accurately to even know who you really are and your calling. That is, if you are properly pastored, if you come under an apostolic, a prophetic teacher, it will take you 16 years to conclude that I am an evangelist. Not even to do ministry yet. Was it 2019? Apostle made a statement that really wrapped. He said that God told him now that he is beginning to be an apostle. Like the apostolic calling, he's entering it now. 3 years ago. What have you been doing? And I had to go back and say, no. Do you understand? With all that has happened, he said he is starting the apostolic ministry. And 24 years is saying ministry is not growing. What do you want? Is it cars? Is it people calling you daddy? What is that? There are warfare to shift and to displace men from the path of the calling, path of destiny, to becoming instruments and weapons in the hands of Satan. These are those who were among us, but they are not of us. Said they were with us, but they were not of us. So they went out and they are false teachers and prophets. Why? They opening yourself up. Are you see there? That God is even calling you to preparation. There is a call to prepare, then there is a commissioning to ministry. And while you are in those phases and stages of life, mind the warfares. It is at those point that the temptation of the eunuchs begin to hit you. Say, I'm a dry stick. I've been serving all my life. When will I have my own thing? When will I be served? Then you quickly run from ministry to ministry, go to Lagos, go to Redeemed Christian Church of God, their redemption camp, go and wash toilet for 3 weeks, then remove from there, go to Koza, go and wash toilet. Go everywhere, wash toilet in the name of tapping anointing. And when you finish, you graduate yourself, then you say you have served, you are ready to start a ministry. It is when you meet a real lion. You can claim that you have the lion of the tribe of Judah in your heart until you meet a real lion. And when your life is tested. Praise God. So, if you are going to engage in warfare, because why is this contemplation really critical and serious? In the parable we call the parable of the sower, all right? The seeds that fell on rocky grounds, they dried up. You know why they dried up? Persecution came on account of the seed they received. And if you have not done due diligence to deepen your root, you know, I told you, your link, your connection to what is in a man's heart is their words. When you hear men talk, listen attentively, you will know what is inside.
What man knows the things of the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man that is inside of that man? You see the spirit and then you see the thought, the mind, okay? When the man speaks, he speaks what is inside. And when you hear some things, you need to run. There are some utterances, some speakings that are coming to awaken you not to obedience, not to selflessness, not to humility. They are coming to awake you unto an inordinate lust and ambition. You just become active with an unbridled appetite. You want to manifest and show. Many are called, few are chosen. Those few are becoming more fewer now than then. These are divine moments, divine opportunities that Gehazi had. And he squandered it by just what Naaman brought. And that was the end of ministry. And that was the end of posterity in the natural for that calling until that anointing revived and resurrected in John the Baptist. There are those times where you need to tell yourself, you need to take heed to yourself. You need to call yourself to order and do a review where you are right now. What, just understand what is this whole thing, this thing all about. Hallelujah. So pay attention to these things. The heart conditions in spiritual warfare, very crucial, very critical. Because the battle of displacements and battles of dislocations, battles of relocations, and battles of replacements, they are lethal battles in the realm of the spirit. If you read the book of Ruth, okay, it was... Hello. One man, an Israelite, named Elimelech. Everything about that book was because one man was displaced and shifted. There was famine in the land. And everybody is always on the lookout for greener grass. Going to where the grasses are green. Just the way Lot lifted his eyes and then all of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was lushy and green, and Lot chose those quarters. Unknown to him, the reading, the barometer of iniquity is reading high, and judgment is closing in on the place he is chosen because he saw with his naked korokoro eyes. Give me Joshua chapter 9, verse 6. And they went to Joshua. Okay, if you read the previous stories, you're going to you get the context. And they went to, these are the men of Jabesh Gilead. They went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country, thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard of the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon the king of Heshbon, and Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, the national assembly, their senate, the executive council, the judiciary, they sat down and they sent them on this errand. And it was deceit. Say, send us
Wherefore the elders and all the inhabitants of our country speak unto us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and come to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, and therefore now make ye league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of the houses on the day we came for to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled, we are new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments, we took them straight from the boutique. All right? And our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. How long does it take you to use your shoe before it goes worn out? And this man came and said, we bought new shoes, new clothes. But because the journey was far, we trek from Lagos, we trek from wherever to come and submit to you. And the men took their victuals. Now, this is Joshua and the leaders. They took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. The next verse. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Hello? These men had traveled for very long. The truth was just 3 days away. What are the things that are agitating you that you look as if Jesus will come very soon? The truth is how many days away? 3 days. And where did they get it wrong? They asked not counsel at the mouth of God. You will not understand the implication of what happened here. This is where the stumbling block for King Saul was installed. King Saul, in his zeal, he went to Jabesh Gilead and then killed the men there. And in the time of David, there was famine. There was drought. And David went to inquire, and God told him, what is going wrong is because of King Saul. He killed this man. The famine that was ravaging the land was because of a carelessness that happened hundreds of years ago, and the pitfall it constituted to an overzealous man who is not paying attention to history. And they had to give 7 men of the house of Saul to these people for the curse to be lifted. Amen. Spiritual warfare is a highly sensitive terrain. The things you trust, the things you should trust in spiritual warfare are the things that have become safe by knowledge. Are you not appalled at the nature of engagement or spiritual warfare in the church in our country, where people are going to engage in warfare, they are going to church, they ask them to bring koboko. Koboko Sunday. Then people are going to church service with cutlass, machete, crusade ground, it is kendo and knife. You are coming with a knife, and you are coming with kendo, and you are coming with 1,000. And then when you get to the crusade ground, you are tearing the devil. You are stabbing the devil. Yeah. In fact, people use broom for spiritual warfare. Sweep the devil. Sweeping. Sweeping out. Sweeping out. Amen. Get to that place where knowledge, understanding becomes the basis for your confidence. Not presumption. Is that okay? Hallelujah. If you are going to prosper in spiritual warfare, And this is very, very crucial. You remember the book of Jude? We were given insight as to what happened after the death and the demise of Moses. Praise God. When Moses died, there were two entities coming to lay claim over the body of Moses. Michael was there to contend to carry the body of Moses, and the devil also was there to come and lay claim to the body of Moses. You must have seen situations, different instances where someone that is a believer, an elder, a Christian in quote, passes on, and then during his burial, people that you never knew ever existed, you never knew this person had any form of fraternity with them, they now show up and they are coming to lay claim on some things. They want to take off the tongue because they have to return the tongue to somewhere. The tongue has to be removed and taken to an occultic dynasty that this man pays secret allegiance to. And then when the man dies, part of the covenant that are signed and sealed is that if he dies, someone close to him, a son, one of his seed, must now come and take his place. And real occult men prepare their seed for to replace them. But believers, Christians, we don't think posterity. The occult man is grooming his son. He's preparing his son, teaching him all the skills, the protocols around this deity that they submit and subscribe to. So you find some people, whatever cap they put on, there must be a design. The design on the cap, the color of the cap can change, but the design will not change. Are you aware? It's not a laughing thing, because that is a principality that want to enslave the nation. Praise the Lord. If you are going to prosper in spiritual warfare, you know, I say these are considerations, all right? These are considerations and contemplations. If you are going to become effective in spiritual warfare, and the goal I'm having with this truth I'm bringing to us is to ensure that we don't have punctuations in our victories. Where you are up, strong and solid today, and then you go for like 3 years and it looks like you have made it at long last. Then some dimensions and handles to spiritual warfare that are like banana suckers. They travel underneath and then you find them growing in a place where they were not really planted. When you deal with those things, that is what it means to be free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't joke with your ancestry in the prosecution of spiritual warfare. Someone met me, one of our students. They just enrolled in. And then she said, she wanted to see me. Okay, what is it? What was the challenge? Said, after she came and they enrolled, and the baptism, the initiation ceremony for becoming an Adulam student is 7 hours prayers. How many days is it this time around? Because of election year and everything, it is extended. Did we have it today also? We had it today. So from Monday to Saturday, right? Then today. So that is, today is already 7 days and it's still running. The baptism to become an Adulam student, so that when they are teaching, you will be understanding from that frequency. Not, do you understand? So your ears are open, you understand, you just know you have come to Adulam. 7 hours prayers. And after they did it, from that Monday, when they started the 7 hours prayers, she started having some warfares that were not there before until the prayer started. Is prayer bad? Or would you rather say, okay, you were not experiencing this thing until you started praying. So were you safer when you were not praying? You know what is going on? Underlying warfares. Some things that are hiding to travel and now begin to manifest. And the wisdom is not to stop praying. Is to bring to an end that wrong, negative ancestral flow in your own lifetime and then start a new positive divine flow from your own life. Then you deliver it to the next generation as a heritage. There are warfare we are engaging in that. The real accolades, the gallants, the crowns, it cannot be received in your lifetime. It is in the next generation that the victories of your labor, of your commitment will be seen. If you were Abraham during your lifetime, the real person that God will be working with is called Isaac, is one. Time of Isaac, one plus another one. But God was tracing the story through that one. You know the other one? The one that sold anything for just for a moment of pleasure. He sold his birthright, sold everything, and then he wanted to eat his cake and have it back. These are warfare that sells posterity. One decision, one choice, one direction you take today takes you and everything that is hooked up and connected to you to a different direction. A seed shall serve him and it shall be accounted for a generation. You can be that seed that will initiate the protocol. Give me 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. This is Paul. I was telling you, don't disregard your heritage as you engage in spiritual warfare, because your heritage can disappoint you. Paul is speaking to Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfailing faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also pure faith. Timothy's mother was a Jewess, grandmother a Jewess, Timothy's father a Greek. But something that had traveled from his grandmother, traveled to his mother, is now shaping Timothy and turning Timothy into an apostleship from the lot of the Gentiles. A people that have prophecy over their lives that God told in Isaiah, say, I'll make thee a light unto the Gentiles. You find God now coming to reap a first fruit from among a people to whom prophecy has been made on. There is something that positioned Timothy, postured him to enter. Where John Mark failed, Timothy entered and prospered. John Mark is a son to Paul's sister. Barnabas. Barnabas is John Mark's uncle. Everything about them, they are both Jews, from their roots are Jews. And the Bible says, if the roots are corrupt, the fruit also will be corrupt. Many of us need to really, the initial battle you need to ignite is a battle to purge your roots. Because something stronger, something older than you can just creep up and begin to. These are the tares that grow when the wheat of God's seed of destiny in your life begins to grow. It was only the wheat that was sown. The tares were already existing there. presumption and assumption is the reason why many persons fail and fall in spiritual warfare. What is that thing that is growing underneath the soil of my destiny? You are meant to start a new lineage, a new generation, but there are warfares, there are battles you need to squash and deal with. Bible says there are three things that are great, four that are stately. One is a greyhound. Two, the eagle. Three, then he said fourth, the third is a lion that is a king of the jungle and turned not back from any. He said fourth, a king against whom there is no rising. The lion that is a king of the jungle. An elephant can be massive, but the lion is there. He is king. He is not perturbed. And the fourth category of people that when they are going, they are stately, they are majestic in their expression. The last one, which I feel, I see it, relating to what I'm talking about, is a king against whom nobody can rise up. Years back, I was watching Kenneth Copeland's great-great-grandchild preaching on Believer's Voice of Victory. These are young guys. And what they were saying, if they say it here, we'll be wondering, why is this guy? It doesn't look like Rema. And you know what? So much power in their lives. Because there is a lineage they are traveling. So you find fifth generation of Copeland marrying fifth generation of Graham, Billy Graham. And when they are living their lives, you will think the devil does not exist. If you try it, you will be reminded. People are making this my message to spoil now. Why are you laughing? Amen. Something happened. Some years back, not too long, maybe 3-4 years ago, I was fasting and praying and pressing. Because one of the things I noticed, I saw around my life, I saw people that should be my friend and helpers, I saw them fighting me more. I faced, and they may not know why they were doing what they are doing. People that should speak on your behalf where you are not, they cancel and cross you. I saw those things, and the pain, you don't want to know the pain. Bible says that Jesus Christ was betrayed in the house of his lovers, and I had to start a 21 days fast. And I was fasting and praying, pressing and pushing and pushing. I became so lean that people were looking at me, and I got a lot of negative responses from people. But they don't know the weight of the warfare that was on my shoulders. And I would rather die fighting than to be a prisoner. Let it go down in history that I died pressing for liberty and victory than to become a willing prisoner of the devil. I don't know where it started from, but I know where it's going to end. It ends. Praise the Lord. To hell with Satan. After praying and fasting, it was the 19th day, the nurse took my blood pressure, and I was already a dead person by the reading. They said low blood pressure was 90, 60, right? I was 90, 50. So I had to stop the fast. But I kept myself in a fasted condition. And a few days after, I had encounters in the dream. I was in my village. Again, I was in my village in my current status, but in the past of my village. I don't know how to explain this to you. Did you understand what I just said? That my village that I went to was many years ago, but I didn't go there as, you know, many times you see yourself in the village in the dream when you were a child. That is not the kind of dream I'm talking about. That is, I am like this. In that dream, I already had my two sons. I already had two kids, okay? Me and my two boys were in my village. But the village, my village was, the houses were mud houses. The road were just red road. You know, these footpaths that are red, okay? Everything looks like the original Tales by Moonlight we used to watch those days, where the houses are old, everything like that. And while I was there, three spirits came. And they met me and they say that I should give them anderi. You know what they call anderi in Idoma? Anderi is that 1 shilling that we used to use, those that has a hole inside. Most of our mothers, you people used it. We didn't use it. We used 25 kobo. It was 25 kobo I met money. Praise the Lord. Where we used to buy Coke and Fanta. Those days you buy Coke and Fanta and share them, dilute it with water. So I think can be plenty. And then this thing said, I should give them and bury, let them use it to push their lives forward. And I told them, I cannot give you anything. They said, yeah, that your ancestors made a covenant with us 200 years ago. And that month of my fasting was the month where the covenant became 200 years and it needed to be renewed, that I should give them anderi. That was when I discovered my ancestors, it was voodoo. What we call aleku is voodoo worship. And I began to speak to them and they were coming around my... I was going to run until I saw them going towards my children and I came back. Oh my God. When I woke up, I called my dad. I told him this, there were 2 male spirits and 1 female spirit, and the female one is Enyangu. And I called my dad. And I, you know, when I call him, he knows. Said, I saw this. These are the description. These are the description of the spirit. And he said, that before, when I tell him, he said, you know, when you have malaria, you will have bad dreams. But over time, if he's going to travel, he tells me to pray. You know, if they're not paying him pension, he reports the matter to my prayer altar and all of that. When I told him, this is what I saw, and this spirit told me 200 years ago. And he said, what you are talking about, my son, his own father was not born. And these are covenants that our ancestors entered into for productivity, for protection, for a lot of things. And those priests now want to rise up in laying claims. And you were born in Wurukum. Say, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Somebody shall fire. Calm down. If you want to go far, pay attention to your ancestry. If your ancestors are every kind of woman person, deal with adultery in your life, even if you have not started feeling the emotion for adultery, because they will come. I know a pastor whose father is a herbalist. When these churches were laying off pastor because they don't have degree, the guy was laid off. He returned back to herbalism. This is a pastor. The force of his ancestry, walking through situations, circumstances, there were pastors who were laid off, who went to other ministries or even started their own ministry or something. But he went back to something that was calling him from his root. He went back to begin to become pay allegiance to his father.
Are you there? And when you have moments of concentrated fasting like this, where you can generate personal fire and corporate grace, part of the things you should have to pull down are these things. If the unfeigned faith
that was in Lois got to Eunice. You need to pay attention to it. And if you go to Eunice and then enter Timothy, if you want to marry, go and marry Timothy's daughter. She is not just a lady. She will be coming with a cargo. It's a cargo of faith. And if you get to marry from wrong places where they have some other kind of cargoes and consignments, you will marry a wife, a husband plus. I am talking about the warrior becoming free to war. Wherever you are fighting, your legs are not strapped to things that are hindering you. In all of Samson's lifetime, the Philistines, no soldier of the Philistine was able to bound Samson, but his own tribal men bound him. And the anointing was helpless. They tied him, handed him over. It was when he came into the territory of the Philistine that the anointing activated. And when you pray and you break through, oh my God, let the arrows fly by day. Let the destruction that waste by night, let them be going left, right, and center. It is not coming near you. Because something has happened to you. Young ladies, you need to see the things that are wrecking your mom's marriage and is not allowing her to have joy and deal with that matter before the man comes. So that marriage for you does not become the entry point, the signing up to those spirits, because those spirits only work when marriage is activated. And because you're not yet married, you don't even experience it, and you think you are okay, you are shabaka shabaka, everything is okay. Wait until you fulfill the requirement for those spirits to be activated. It's like the early rains that comes, and then the grasses in the field begin to rise up. Amen. When there is such roots of idolatry, between and betwixt, by and by, somewhere down the line, you will find people becoming offended with church, offended with God, offended with leadership and everything. And then they say, if this is church, they become free thinkers. They become Christians are becoming Muslims. Joining all of crazy things. And unknown to them, it is not anything that is happening in the immediate. It is something remote. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 10, 11, you're going to find in the warfare, there were cities that were open to the enemy, not from outside, but from inside. Insiders opened the city gate for outsiders to come and take over. And these are things you need to deal with. And really, you should deal with it on time before the things that should be an advantage for you becomes wasted. The advantage of time, the advantage of talent, the advantage of that is intelligence and age that you have. When there is a wastage of all of those things, then now those things have become wasted. No time on your side. Intelligence is not there. All manner of disqualifying mistakes here and there. Then you just discover that, this is the problem. Even if you solve it now, there is not so much to enter into. And even though the gift and callings of God are without repentance, you are not always in the best condition to engage those gifts and callings the way God designed it. Hallelujah. So the reason why when you begin to pray, you begin to see some things, some manifestations, attacks here and there, is because you have been sleeping on serpents. And they have been comfortable because you are not applying fires. You have been in prison. And you have been a good prisoner. So the prison wardens don't need to oppress you. They don't need to flog you. There are prisoners who are chiefs, they are capons in prison. They read books, they have television. So there are executive prisons where you communicate with the outside world. Everything is just this world that is a limitation. And so long as you are obedient, Bible says that when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than him shall come upon him and overpower him and take from him the armor wherewith he trusted, he shall spoil his goods. Until there is a reaction against imprisonment, you will be in peace. Oh, it will be well with you. But the devil knows that what is the peace you are having? There is a peace you get because you went to war. And there is a peace you get because you compromised and submitted to be a willing slave. I want to have peace by blood. I want to spill blood. Woe is that man that will keep his sword from blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Very important. I wrote something here. I said, you know, why I wrote this is because I have followed the pattern and also studied the pattern of divine commitment to this house, especially in the area of revelation and direction. Over the years, I have seen that when an emphasis comes in this place, it is actually God leading. And when we're talking about the theme for this fast, spiritual warfare, it's important that you pay attention. And during war, so the last thing soldiers see before they are dispatched is not entertainment. It's not comedy. It's not niceness. They are telling them, morale, high. Remember your wife? Remember your children? Yes, sir. If you go and you play, you're not coming back. They remind them of all the precious things they are leaving behind. The man goes out there. He is fighting to the death because there is a picture. When soldiers are going, all these young soldiers who are not even married, they encourage them to have girlfriends so they can carry pictures in their pocket. As you are there fighting in the night, in the heat, in the cold, where people are just cringing from cold and their teeth are just jacking and cracking and all of that, you remove the picture and then you envisage the wedding. And if you don't go back alive, another man will marry her, you put it, and then you see capillaries. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That is a way of soldiers. There is a glory we have seen. There is a glory that has been prophesied over our lives. And I must be a partaker of that glory. I must be a carrier. I must walk in my allotment of that glory. So I will, oh no, having done all things to stand, I will stand. So in times of war, you don't wear traditional attires. You don't wear swimming trunk. You put on clothes, dressings of war. And you need to learn how to beat your pruning hooks into spears. Beat your plowshares, the same instrument. I will not complain. I will not murmur. I will just change this tool. Jael, the wife of Heber, turned tent peg into a weapon of victory. This is a woman. Do you know how women can be very touchy? They can't see blood. They're just on the edge like that. They can't even inflict pain. This woman carried 10 peg, carried a hammer, and went tiptoed after sedating him with milk, and the man is sleeping and snoring. You know why it is a serious matter? If she missed it, that man is a warrior. This is the captain of the host. that ran with horses. The chariot could not carry him with the speed expected. He disembarked and his feet carried him faster than chariot. And you want to go and kill such a man? If you don't have liver, if you have not drop all those night gowns and everything and then put all weapons of war, you cannot feature there. With one strike, bam, the tenth plague entered the ground. Whether he struggled, he could not struggle to be released from the depth of the tenth plague. And when they were looking for Caesarea, I said, come and look, come and see the one you are looking for. When they came, he was already dead. To fulfill the prophecy of Deborah, telling him, what's his name again? Barak. Say, even though you are leading this war, the victory is a woman that will bring the victory home. There was a prophetic word released, and this woman was so postured that that prophecy acted on her heart. Be careful where you take prophecies from, because spirits will be released to accomplish and perform it. Where God has not given responsibility, he hardly will give prophecy. I'll say this in English language so you will know why and how you got yourself exposed. If God has not given a man jurisdiction over your life, he will not speak to that man's secrets about your life. So you get up and go to worry, go to everywhere, and then they are telling you things and they are true. Oga, you are in error. But this thing I'm saying, it is 3 days from now that you will discover that what I'm saying is true. But let it not be that you were wounded. Amen, amen. So you find two forces, two spirits coming to lay claim on Moses. A pastor that I know died, and at his burial, they put a matchet and they put a torchlight in his casket. You know what is happening? Even though he has been a preacher, the ancestry tradition still subsists there. If, I don't know how to say this for you, hallelujah, don't despise, don't neglect the things that history has proven to be true where you are coming from. We are not saying accept it as your destiny, but identify it so you can war against it. This person rose up, got cut off. This one rose up, polygamy. By mistake, somebody took in for him, and then the person is not ready. Abortion is not going to happen because that is the shedding of blood. And that is a spirit of polygamy working to establish itself. And you find these things. The first thing to do is to go back in. Don't do more of outreach, do more of inreach. Do a self audit. 200 years ago, spirits were contracted. And this is Makodi, not village. I quoted a scripture to us in the book of Luke 19, where this man was going to a faraway country to receive a kingdom, and his servant sent messengers after him and said, this man will not rule over us.
he don't go abroad. But life is not even above for him. You know why? The messengers from home have arrived. He is in America. He is in Norway, but there is no way in his life. He is in Canada, but nothing is happening in his life. You know why? Those hidden boys, those hidden things, they send errand, they send emissaries. As he go empty, make he come back empty. Fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Very important. Amen. How many of us remember the story of, what is this? This time that I said, the thing is already talking to me now. You remember the book of Genesis? I think Genesis 48. All right. When Joseph brought his two boys to their father Jacob to do what? To bless them. He brought Manasseh, who is the firstborn, and kept him here. Brought Ephraim, second, and kept him here. So that if Jacob should stretch forth his hand, the left hand will rest on Ephraim, and the right hand will rest on Manasseh. But Jacob peeped into the realms of the spirit, and he beheld the lamps and the brilliance of the destiny of these children. And maybe he connected also to his own destiny. Because Esau was the firstborn, he was the second, but he was the one that God was moving with. And he crossed the right hand this way and crossed the left hand this way in a prophetic recognition and acknowledgement of the weights of destiny these two young lads carry. And Joseph said, "No, my father, this is the firstborn." And he tried to rearrange the hand. May there be divine rearrangement of the things of your destiny. Where human tradition, where culture is putting you behind, may the hand of God put you ahead. If you don't like it, say back to sender. But when you read to the end of the Old Testament, you're going to see this great destiny on the life of Ephraim that was confirmed by a patriarchal declaration and prophecy. Okay, Ephraim did not live up to the destiny that was on him. As Ephraim goes along, you find adultery, you find Ephraim joining everything harlotry, everything idolatry appealed to Ephraim. And the time came where God said, Ephraim has joined himself with idols. Let him alone. What is that thing that was inside of Ephraim that defeated divine trust? God trusted him to release such weight and brilliance of destiny. Yet there was something here that Ephraim did not deal with, that dealt with him. And when we talk about spiritual warfare, don't get carried away by doing all the devils. No, there are things to be. There are devils that are comfortable devils. They have traveled along. They have been part of the clan, and they have been so interwoven into their existence that you don't even know that they are devils until you kindle fire. Until you begin to bring repentance before the Lord, then you start seeing some reactions. Those reactions means the errand you are sending, it is being received. The lily-livered believer will stop praying because he started having bad dreams after they started praying. But the lion-hearted believer, we have motivation to pray more because
that your thing you were doing, Sokoto, 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 those are Sokoto tongues, the devil was feeling it. That is why he reacted. Have you seen a football match? Have you seen a football match? Right? Who is the person that they go after in the football match? Who is the person? Sorry? The one with the ball is the one who is the object of all manner of quacking and attack, and they form rings around him. They jab you down and all of that. And they, even when you fall, they are looking at you like this. So, you know those footballers? They are in a public stage and they are putting their anger, undealt anger, on a global display. There are things you need to deal with before you get to the arenas. If not, when you manifest that slap, you slap that your house girl, the whole world will be looking. These are things that have made people to commit suicide. The man with the ball is the man that is object of target. So when you begin to pray, you are with the ball. Your sister married, and then we don't know what is happening to her family, but you are praying. And it looks like they eat breakfast, they eat lunch, they take dinner. And when they finish, they take juice. They even take juice to drink, and then they sit down. They have a dining table. And you who is pushing and pressing, paying the price, it looks like life is hard. You are the man with the ball. It is the man with the ball that is the factor. He is the one that can determine victory. So all the forces go after him. So, even though our outward man perish, our inward man is being renewed day by day, because our light and momentary affliction, even though it's light and momentary, nonetheless, is an affliction. He's working out for us a far exceeding weight of glory. And because of that, even when things are not working outwardly, there is something working inwardly. And we stick to that lamp inside. We stick. Job said, though he slay me, I remain there. Why will you give up? Because they begin to attack you after they pray. It means you need to pray more. You need to fast more. You need to do more night vigils. You need to cut more intentional covenants with God. But if you are lily livered, you will sign out. When I was in the world, when I was not praying, I go to church only for crossover service, and then when somebody dies, I had all that I needed. I paid my bills, my kids were going to all the best schools and everything. But now that I am in church and I begin to pray, I can't even pay my bills. I can't even do anything. Say, I'm going to backslide. I want to go back. It was better with me out there than here. That is demonic beguilement. You don't know what is at stake in your life and by your own life. When the 11 guys are on the pitch playing Nigeria, which country knocked us out? Which country knocked us out recently? Ghana. When those 11 players were playing and they won those 11 players, did you say that you are a skillful person? You are just going to show Ghana people that you can play football. Did you go to the pitch? When they lost, you lost. And when they win, you win. And you are all over the street gyrating, jubilating, because 11 representatives. And you are representing a people. A people born. A people unborn. There is a testimony that we will deliver to the generation yet unborn. That is factored into our warfare moderations today. That is what makes you an eternal excellency and the joy of many generations. Amen. Tonight, I would like us to pray. Revival, come, come, come. Revival, come, come, come. Revival, come, oh. Revival, come, come, come. Revival, come, come, come. Revival, come, oh, me kamparas. Skobo mantena, madilo, rososo. Subiaman, babaranda, zisa. Solira, inatatabo. Medina, sondo, zoso. Sibulamba, abres, kobenatina. Koriama, ansaso. Sugundi, giaman, bate. Compros kobombati ganantata abula razeso sumimbeti selina askakute pondos kobomparas skabalampanteko oh kontabela skabela kata oh my Africa abo anuzazesaka oh komo yalada. Revival, come, 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 revival, come, revival, come, revival, come, 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 revival, come, come, revival, come.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.